Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Was that hard? That wasn't that hard, was it? All you had to do was come out with a statement about these drones over New Jersey. My goodness, this 27-year-old White House press secretary under President Trump sounds like she just did an incredible job. I mean, all the highlights that I saw, the reactions that I'm seeing from Laura Ingraham to Hannity to Jesse Waters and everybody else and many of you on X. How hard is it really to just come out and say, here's the deal with these drones. Yep, some of these are being used for research purposes. Some of these are hobbyists that are up there. Instead, you know, the Biden regime, they were trying to play all sneaky, you know, secret squirrel. Oh, well, we don't know. Well, I mean, we were calling it out on day one. And it's like, guys, if these are our, you know, government drones or something like that, anytime you do some sort of an exercise, a training exercise, or, you know, research, you have an in-depth planning process, and part of that planning process includes a whole annex about what you tell the public, what you don't tell the public, what you try. It's like they just totally forgot that annex, and they're like, hey, what do we do if we're asked about these drones over New Jersey? Evade, maybe even straight up lie, or just, you know, like Joe Biden was classic for doing, just kind of wander off into the woods. I mean, that's what they did, and yet here you go. Caroline Leavitt comes out right out the gates on day one, and as Donald Trump promised he would do, he said he would give the information to the public about what all these drones over New Jersey were all about, and boom, they do it very simply. And thankfully, you just heard it there in the opening news update here this morning, right there after 6 a.m. in the Fox News update. Man, we got a lot to talk about here this morning. Coming up, normally we don't have a guest join us, you know, right away, first segment out the gates as we get things up and rolling. But I think we've got joining us from London. He'll be with us here in a couple of minutes, although sometimes these Fox News radio correspondents, they get a little busy, so they call in a little late. So we'll see if it works out. But we're going to be talking, you know, there was some speculation, hey, were these Chinese drones that were flying over New Jersey, kind of like how we had the Chinese spy balloon that was hovering over Montana way back when. Well, we're going to talk China, but not regarding the drones. We're going to be talking about China and AI, China and artificial intelligence technology. There was a big story in the news here earlier this week that really rocked the stock market here in the United States. But it's not just a financial story. It's a national security story. It's a huge business story. Basically, the concern is that, man, is China poised to completely blow us out of the water when it comes to AI, artificial intelligence technology, or what some might call augmented intelligence technology. Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio should be with us here right after this first news and weather break of the morning. And then later in the hour, Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr from the Montana Capitol with our weekly legislative update from the Speaker of the Montana House as well.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the lower 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures fall off to around 10 in Bozeman, staying in the mid-20s in Billings. Then with more sunshine Thursday, highs around 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
New Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem addressed her department for the first time Tuesday, telling the staff the goal is simple.
We leave this country safe for our kids and our grandkids far into the future.
However, she admits that mission is big and vast, and achieving that goal is more difficult in practice than theory.
The world is a dangerous place, and we've got dangerous, evil foreign governments that want to take us down.
Secretary Noem says DHS will be America's first line of defense.
We will do everything that we can to protect the American people. We have jurisdiction over people who live here, people who leave here, and people who come here.
She says that DHS jurisdiction extends to products, the internet, and anything that could negatively impact America's security. And Noem promised,
we will exercise all legal authorities that we have to protect this country because it is the only last light of freedom left.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll see if our Fox News radio guest calls in here before we get to our next break. This is kind of a fast opening segment here. But in the meantime, let me see. Speaking of China, the UK Daily Mail, I didn't mention this piece on the air yet, but let's see. About 3 days ago, the UK Daily Mail had this headline. Shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government did not tell you. Remember that China spy balloon that was hovering over Montana and the weak response by the Biden regime? Anyway, let's see. Here we go. The shocking truth about a Chinese spy balloon that entered U.S. airspace last year has finally been revealed. Panic swept the nation. Panic? I don't know if we were panicked. We were just saying, shoot the stupid thing down. Anyway, panic swept the nation when officials spotted a massive white balloon float over the Canadian border in February 2023. While the Chinese government insisted it was a civilian meteorological device that had blown off course, it floated near Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, home to some of America's intercontinental ballistic missiles. And then, of course, they waited until it flew all the way over the country and spied across the entire country before they finally shot it down. But anyway, I got to get to the part where they claim that there's now shocking new information of what the government did not tell you about the China spy balloon. We'll see if there's something new in this UK Daily Mail piece that we hadn't already shared here on Montana Talks. All right, we got Jonathan Savage now with us on the show here. Jonathan, joining us from London with Fox News Radio. So what's the big story here with China and AI technology really rocked the stock market here in the United States earlier this week?
Yeah, I think one way of putting it is we're in the midst of a battle between the two global superpowers, the United States and China, and this battle is for the future of technology. And it matters because countries around the world are relying on artificial intelligence to provide productivity, growth, much-needed boost to economies going forward into the 21st century. Everyone wants a piece of the next big thing. Now, for the last year or so, this space has been dominated by American companies, the likes of NVIDIA, OpenAI, Microsoft, and Meta, all spending billions and billions on AI. And then suddenly, out of the blue, DeepSeek appears, an artificial intelligence chatbot that has become the most downloaded app in the US for iPhones. Developed in China, and what makes it such a shock to the tech world is how little money its inventors claim was spent making it. Just $6 million to train it, a fraction of the over $100 million that OpenAI suggests they've spent on training the latest version of ChatGPT.
Yeah, so very interesting. And so basically, the American company's stock dropped significantly, if I recall right, and then everybody was saying, wow, are the Chinese basically eating our lunch on AI technology? And some were even wondering if this is kind of like a Sputnik moment with regard to AI technology and Chinese potential advancement.
Yeah, on the surface, it would suggests that the whole AI business model needs to be rethought. We saw $500 billion wiped off the value of NVIDIA. That's the American company which provides computer chips for U.S. tech firms. Now, NVIDIA did bounce back yesterday, but at the same time, the markets were a little spooked by all of this. Donald Trump responding, saying that it's a wake-up call for the U.S. tech industry. But at the same time, he's trying to keep things calm. He's saying, look, it could be a positive sign. If you can do things cheaper, do it for less, get the same result, he says, I think that's a good thing for us. Donald Trump believes the U.S. will remain a dominant player in the field. But now it's certainly clear that the field is not just solely occupied by these big American tech firms.
Well, and just a little over a week ago, we were in Washington, D.C. for President Trump's inauguration, and high tech was on display. I mean, you had Zuckerberg there. You, of course, Elon Musk was there. Elon Musk now has his own AI platform embedded in X, known as Grok. And so I'd imagine this lights even more fire underneath their feet to you know, propel their efforts to try to make the United States the leader in AI.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that's why President Trump's calling it a wake-up call. All these companies will be assessing exactly whether this $6 million claim out of China is true. It appears, we don't know much about the guy behind this company. It appears he's part of a Chinese hedge fund and has been running this as a side project on his weekends. So he's created the model, apparently doing the same thing as OpenAI, but at a much lower cost. So the companies will be assessing, look, have we got this wrong? And if there is something to it, I'm sure they'll be working very, very hard to cut their own costs. And, of course, that would be good for their stock price in the long run.
Very interesting. Jonathan Savage, Fox News Radio, thanks for your time. Appreciate your report.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. We'll take another break here, get to the Farm and Ranch Report and more. And in fact, news out of Washington, I mentioned earlier the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, the new White House press secretary, not a binder in sight. You could say she talked a little bit of agriculture, had a little bit of a farm and ag report of her own, talking commodities, particularly talking egg prices. Responding to some of the White House press corps questions yesterday. So maybe I'll tee that one up for you here right after the Farm and Ranch Report, since it's related news, shall we say. Christy Noem also, you know, speaking of Farm and Ranch Report, she was talking about tagging along with ICE on these raids in New York City yesterday. And she pointed back to something her dad taught her while building fence on the ranch in South Dakota. It's a great story. Wait till you hear this one.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented. Because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Senate met late last Friday night before voting to confirm Pete Hegseth as Defense Secretary. All Democrats opposed Hegseth. Three Republicans joined them in voting no. The Senate then hung around for a Saturday morning vote to confirm Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary. Republicans blasted Democrats for delaying the confirmation of CIA Director John Ratcliffe by 2 days, and then requiring the Senate to use all time available after they broke a filibuster on Hegseth for the vote late last Friday night. Republicans have made claims that Democrats are obstructing the nominees, but that's not quite the case. Every nominee except Hegseth, confirmed by the Senate, has received bipartisan support. All 100 senators voted to confirm Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, and 7 Democrats voted for Noem. Other nominees scored help from Democrats as well. It usually takes months to confirm nominees. For instance, former President Biden did not get his last 2 cabinet officials confirmed until mid to late March. Right now, President Trump is ahead of the rate of confirmations he had during his first term. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. Back on January 8th, President Biden's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released its proposal for a grizzly bear management plan that consolidates recovery zones for the grizzly bear into a single distinct population segment across Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and Washington. It, of course, would keep grizzlies listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. But now that President Trump is in office, his administration is reviewing the Biden administration grizzly bear management proposal, announcing this week that it was canceling public comment meetings that were to be held across the region. And during his Senate confirmation hearing, Interior Secretary nominee Doug Burgum was questioned by Montana U.S. Senator Steve Daines on his knowledge of grizzly bear management.
The service keeps moving these goalposts for delisting and returning these bears to state management where it absolutely belongs, like we've done with the wolves. The service set recovery numbers at 500 and 800 respectively for the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem and the Northern Continental Divide Ecosystem. The most recent estimate is now, best science, 2,100 bears in these 2 ecosystems. Governor Burgum, would you acknowledge that the data shows the recovery of these 2 populations and commit to working with me to delist those?
This is a super important issue. I know to Montanans, it's important to people in also in Wyoming and Idaho. I'm with you. We should be celebrating when species come off the endangered species list, as opposed to fighting everywhere we can to try to keep them on that list. Having been a governor, I understand how dedicated the state fish and wildlife representatives are from Montana, from Wyoming, from North Dakota, South Dakota. I mean, all of the folks, as the chair of Western Governors, I came to understand how dedicated those state officials are. I think there's a belief that when they come off of federal protection that they're unprotected. No, they're managed as they are all the other species in the state by the locals who've got the closest data. So yes, I pledge to work with you on this issue.
Even though the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has canceled public meetings on the grizzly bear management plan, the public can still make written comments, submitting them online through March 17th.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers for America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier for you to attend. Informative speakers on timely topics, cutting-edge ag technology in the industry's largest trade show, and more. Visit CommodityClassic.com today.
Hello, I'm Chance Merrill, Credit Officer at Montana Livestock Ag Credit. Over the years, I've had many conversations with customers in their feed truck, in their kitchen, or out in the corrals. I've found there are a few things our borrowers enjoy most about Montana Livestock. They enjoy interest rates that put savings in their pocket, quick turnaround on loans, credit officers who grew up in ag, and service at their doorstep. If your outfit needs a change, please give me a call at 1-800-332-3405 or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Former Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has just been named as the CEO of the World Food Prize Foundation based in Des Moines. The foundation, established in the 1980s by Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Norman Borlaug, recognizes individuals who have made significant contributions to improving global food security and advancing sustainable agriculture. Vilsack, a 2-term U.S. Secretary of Agriculture and former Iowa governor, says he aims to build on the foundation's legacy by fostering innovation, creating partnerships, and championing solutions to address hunger and ensure a sustainable food system for the future. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Oh, this actually is kind of interesting. I was reading this UK Daily Mail story. I printed it up. It was in my stack of stuff. Sometimes I get a chance to get to it. Sometimes I don't. But shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government didn't tell you. This is some interesting new information here. I don't know how shocking it is, especially with what we saw out of the Biden regime. But, yeah, this is interesting. This is quite interesting here. They're quoting the commander, I believe, from NORAD, Glenn Van Herk, U.S. Air Force general who commanded NORAD, you know, North American Air Defense Command, et cetera. Anyway, so I'll get to that here in a second. But first, we just had the Farm and Ranch Report, as I told you. We got a couple Farm and Ranch Report editions of our own. Should I start with the fence building story from Kristi Noem, or should we start with the egg prices? Let's start with the egg prices. Here you go. Jesse Waters had a great segment last night. He talked about new White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, 27 years old. She's got a baby, not a binder. Not a binder in sight yesterday as she tackled the predominantly left-wing press corps.
I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
So Biden lied. The whole administration acted like we were crazy, and we were right. We were just testing out some new gadgets over our own territory. It wasn't the Iranians or the Chinese or aliens. It was Joe. After that revelation, the media wanted to move on. And they blame Trump for inflation.
Egg prices have skyrocketed since President Trump took office. So what specifically is he doing to lower those costs for Americans?
Really glad you brought this up, because there is a lot of reporting out there that is putting the onus on this White House for the increased cost of eggs. I would like to point out to each and every one of you that in 2024, when Joe Biden was in the Oval Office or upstairs in the residence sleeping, I'm not so sure, egg prices increased 65% in this country. What's also contributing to that is that the Biden administration and the Department of Agriculture directed the mass killing of more than 100 million chickens, which has led to a lack of chicken supply in this country, therefore a lack of egg supply, which is leading to the shortage.
Reporters kept trying to play games, and it didn't go well.
How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals, as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
What a highlight reel there, and that was just a couple of minutes of Jesse Waters' segment on Fox News last night. We'll get to the fence building story right to talk about this proposal to federal employees. You talk about a way to get our country out of debt and trim the bureaucracy that is holding this country back. There you go. That is a great plan right there from President Trump. See how many people take the offer. All right. Homeland Security Secretary, former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, kicked off her first week on the job by joining along with an ICE raid in New York City early Tuesday morning. We talked about this live on the air yesterday while it was happening. She says she's going to continue joining the raids in order to do her job better. Here's what she told Sean Hannity.
I will be out there with our agents and with our law enforcement officers, our Border Patrol, ICE, HSI. I'll be with all of them because I think that when I'm there, they know they have a leader that supports them. But also I'm learning from them. I'm learning what tools they need, what authorities they need.
And I've got a longer clip from that segment on Sean Hannity's program last night. Maybe we'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour later this morning. I don't know. We got a busy lineup here today. But I love this particular part. This might have been from Waters. I can't remember if this was from Waters or Hannity. Oh, it was on Waters' segment as well last night when he talked about this story. She talked about why she wanted to go out there and basically build the fence protecting America. But of course, the enemy is inside the fence right now. So they've got to get the wolves off the pasture first, right? And then they can. And at the same time, they're trying to rebuild the fences here. Here's the story she told from when she was a kid.
We were building fence, stretching wires, and out there putting up about a mile and a half of this fence. And he turned to me and he said, "Christy, where's the post mall?" Which is the post pounder that you post pound the posts in with. And I turned to him and I said, "It's in the truck." And he said, "Go get it." So with my dad, you ran everywhere you went. I turned and ran to the truck, grabbed the post mall, brought it back to him, handed it to him. And as I handed it to him, he said, "You should know what I need before I know what I need." And I remember being a 10-year-old girl thinking, how am I ever going to know what he needs before he knows what he needs? But what he was doing was teaching us to think ahead and to think three steps ahead of what he needed.
And that's what she's now doing as Homeland Security Secretary. Great to see. Hey, I'll tell you what else is great to see. Man, I got some new snacks here in my studio. I just did my tune-up check-in. I'm doing a quick little tune-up here at the start of the year with Billings Last Diet. You know, trim on any weight you put on over the holidays or a vacation here and there, the elections. Maybe you became an emotional eater 2 weeks out because you were wondering what the future of the country was going to be. Well, anyway, I'm doing my diet tune-up with Billings Last Diet, shedding any fat that I put on. And so now when I'm doing my tune-up, I get to go pick out all the snacks, all their ideal protein snacks. So I've got, I've got the protein chips. I've got these pizza crisp things. Those actually taste pretty good, too. Good flavor on those. And then, of course, they've got these things that taste like Rice Krispie treats, but they're protein. I'll tell you what, they've got good products. And if you want to shed the pounds, go to BillingsLastDiet.com right now.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I'm not seeing anybody on the phone lines right now. So, Caden, if you don't mind, check in with Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, to make sure that he's still on track to join us here for our weekly update. If not, hey, we got plenty of other things to get to here in the meantime. But there is a lot of legislative news. Let me see if I can just quickly roll through some headlines for you here. Let's see. Pay bump for lawmakers. Montana House okays a pay raise. But rest assured, for those of you out there, the state legislators do not make a lot of money. It is a service when they go to Helena. They are not highly paid bureaucrats. So, and frankly, with the inflation we've seen in the last 4 years, thankfully, we've seen wage growth in Montana, but yeah, everybody could use a raise these days, right? Let's see here. Another one, I saw this at the Billings Gazette. Ambitious Democrat proposal for Medicaid expansion dies just weeks into the session. The sponsor of an ambitious Democrat effort to overhaul Medicaid expansion offered to gut her own bill Tuesday, just 4 weeks into the legislative session. What do they mean by ambition? Ambitious. Oh, she would have done away with work requirements. See, she and her fellow Democrats in the legislature, they want you to work and to pay taxes, and then they want their voters to get the free stuff. They want you to go to work to pay for them to sit on their butts and get what you work hard to pay for. So that's why she wanted to nix work requirements. What do they mean by ambitious Medicaid expansion proposal? What they mean is drive our nation deeper into debt and take more money out of your pocket to put it into somebody else's pocket. All right, that's just a couple of the headlines. There's a whole bunch of other headlines coming out of the state capitol in Helena here. We've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lear now with us on the phone lines. Mr. Speaker, good to have you here for our weekly update.
How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So what do you want to start with in terms of, I guess, give us the overview of everything that's happening this week, especially anything that's getting across the finish line?
Yeah, we got the House's election reform, or not election reform, excuse me, judicial reform package most of the way through. We got one more bill to get across today. That's House Bill 65. That's the audit the bar. We got Lee Deming through. It took us a little bit, but we managed to get it through make sure that the Supreme Court had to apply a higher burden of proof when challenging legislative actions. And then last week we pushed the House Bill 35 and 36, the Fiona Naves, into the Senate. Just some stuff dealing with the Judicial Standards Commission. And so our election package is, or not election, excuse me, our judicial reform package in the House has kind of gotten through. This week we'll do some, have some election bills on the floor. We'll also have some Wolf bills on the floor, which always kind of get a little bit contentious. So, and then in committee this week, we're going to hear a big NEPA package in the House, that Montana Environmental Protection Act. And a lot of these bills are, you know, dealing with combating the Held decision. Myself, I'll carry one. Representative Zolnikoff will carry one, and then Representative Oblander will carry one. So then we'll be kind of be a big package we're going to put together, and hopefully we can get all 50 Republicans on board with them and push them through, so that way we can make sure that Montana isn't volatile when it comes to getting people in here that want to develop our natural resources and even develop in general. So that'll be good. And then we have Curtis Schilmer, Representative Schilmer out of Billings. He's got pushing hard to get Montana Mining Day pushed through by February 9th. That's Mining Day, but the bill will probably be signed February 10th. And then Representative Seekins Crow has the collegiate women's sports to protect women's sports in college. That'll be heard on Friday.
Wow. Man, what a lineup of action taking place there in the state capitol in Helena. One of the things you mentioned was an audit of the bar in Montana, just so our listeners are tracking. This is the state bar, which oversees lawyers, basically, right? And so, you know, obviously this sounds like something that's so important because, man, they've been up to some political shenanigans, and they try to keep their thumb on these lawyers, and they've been pushing a radical left-wing partisan agenda, and it's part of the reason why we have these, judicial activism, particularly in our Montana Supreme Court, and then oftentimes at the district court level as well.
Yeah, no, and that's 100% the truth. They want to say separate from the government, but yet every lawyer has to pay in dues. It's required by the Supreme Court that you pay in dues to the Montana State Bar. So I feel like we have the ability, and we should. You know, it's just another check. So I think it's good. Also, this week we're going to hear two great education bills. We're going to hopefully we'll hear one today, actually, and one Friday. The Friday one will be in tandem with the school choice rally that'll be held up here at the Capitol.
That's right. Noon on Friday, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana was talking about that one on Monday for us here, and a little update that we're doing with them as well. Man, so much to talk about there. Let's start with the wolves here. We know that there's far too many wolves in Montana and in our region right now, but of course, obviously, they continue to get protected by the environmental activists that control our courts, even at especially at the federal level. But I think I saw a report from the liberal Free Press here, two bills seeking to roughly halve Montana's wolf population pass out of committee. So, yeah, obviously we've got to bring some common sense back here to wolf management. I know a lot of our professionals at FWP want to do the same thing, but you know, unfortunately we've had a Biden regime the last 4 years, and then liberal courts, which hopefully will slowly but surely change over the coming years as well.
Yeah, on the wolf bills, just to be bluntly honest with you, it's going to be tough to get both of them through. I hope we can get one through. What they're aiming to do is increase the means of take. And you hit the nail on the head when you said there's too many. And I believe that the goal is to have roughly 450 breeding pairs, it'd be half of that. It'd be roughly 450 wolves, and then however many breeding pairs that is. And then we're a little over double that right now. We're sitting with 1,100 wolves. And in the last 10 years, we have seen a decrease in wolf population, but very nominally. And over the last 6 years, we have increased the means of take, which means we've expanded seasons, we've built more quotas, we've allowed trapping, we've done all these. We put in all these mechanisms that you can increase the means of taking a wolf, but we haven't seen the population shrink. We've held it steady, but we haven't seen it shrink. So,
what's the holdup? What's the holdup of getting that? Or what has you concerned that it might not get through? Are there some squishy Republicans? Or are they getting heavy pushback from certain groups?
There's starting to be a little pushback because I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but there is some fear that from some organizations that these bills could get sued, and then once they get sued, then our means of take goes away until deliberations are over.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and now with a new regime in Washington with Trump there, we may not want to do anything that might disrupt efforts to bring more common sense anyway, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And we want to make sure that we don't lose our means of take, so that the way they explode again if we can't hunt them for a year. And so we do want to be careful there, so that way we can, we want to be able to keep pushing, but we've got to be pushing in the ways that we know we're going to get the most, the most benefit from it. And just going flat out scorched earth on them is probably going to garner a lawsuit, and then who knows if we can win that, how it's going to take to take it out. But we do need to keep working on decreasing the number of wolves, and that doesn't matter if it's for the outdoorsmen or if it's for the livestock, or if it's for the ranchers.
That's right.
They're absolutely, obliterating the elk herds, and they're causing such a big ruckus with our, livestock producers in the state. So it's a big issue that needs to be handled. We just need to handle it correctly, so that way we don't lose the ability to hunt them for a period of time.
Wow, great update all around. Montana Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, great to have you. 20 seconds, anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
No, the House is chugging along. We're doing good. Like I said, we've got the Kerry Seekins Grove bill, Women's Collegiate Sports Bill, protecting women in college sports. That's going to be the big bill at the end of the week there, and then some education bills with MAPS and the STARS program, and just kind of keep pushing along, and hopefully keep doing good work for the state of Montana.
Good stuff. All right, quick break, and then I think we'll hear more about that bill in our next update coming up right after this. All right, thanks for your time.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And here's Christy Noem, second day on the job, joining ICE agents and federal authorities on these deportation raids, and they get one of the ringleaders of Trinidad Aragua. Is that a good thing for the country or a bad thing for the country? She said live this morning from New York City, I'm on it. She was there with these numerous federal agencies hitting targets in New York City, starting in the Bronx. He tweeted out or X'd out, we are doing this right, exactly what President Donald Trump promised the American people. We're going to make our streets safe. Dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets. Oh, why do the people in the media, why are they protecting this group of people?
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Gold Co.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the lower 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures fall off to around 10 in Bozeman, staying in the mid-20s in Billings. Then with more sunshine Thursday, highs around 40 in Bozeman to near 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Caden, I think you've got the legislative update in there from the Montana Family Foundation. I can try to pull it up in here if you don't have it ready to roll in there. Just shoot me a note if you've got it pulled up. Let me see. Is it in here? All right, here we go.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
For those who visit the Montana Capitol or the U.S. Capitol for the very first time, one of the most memorable moments has to be that moment when you walk into the middle of the rotunda and look up. It's breathtaking, which is exactly what the architect wanted you to feel. In my opinion, the Capitol's the most beautiful building in Montana, and the Rotunda is the most beautiful place in the Capitol. The Capitol itself is a five-story building, and the Rotunda rises through the center of stories 3, 4, and 5. It's also dead center in the Capitol, with the east and west wings heading off in two directions. In addition to being aesthetically beautiful, the Rotunda plays a key role in every legislative session. It's the great gathering place, and in many ways, it's the heart and soul of the building. Long before a legislative session begins, groups start reserving the Rotunda for their special events. These can range from speeches to rallies to trade shows to demonstrations or ethnic events. Historically, one of the loudest is the day that the chief of one of Montana's tribes gives the State of the Tribal Nations address to a joint session of the House and Senate. It's usually accompanied by a circle of drummers from several tribes playing in the center of the Rotunda, and they're so loud that you can hear the drums on all five floors and in every nook and cranny of the Capitol. It's really a sight to see. Since the purpose of most of the events is to draw the legislators' attention to a particular interest group or issue, and because legislators are just so busy, most of the groups offer a free lunch, and it works. In addition to legislators, Capitol staff and even lobbyists stop by as well. The side benefit is the real work that takes place while grabbing a quick bite. Members of the House and Senate update each other on bills and hearings, lobbyists get a quick word with legislators who are otherwise hard to pin down, and the interest groups hosting the events often try to slip in a speech while they have multiple legislators corralled. The greatest commodity in any legislative session other than a vote is the ear of a legislator. Everyone's extremely busy, so even a few moments over lunch is worth pursuing, and every day at noon in the Rotunda is a predictable place to make that happen. Another great feature of the Rotunda is the acoustics. It's a great place to give speeches, but it's useful for other things as well. One of my fondest memories took place late at night in the 2003 legislative session. The Capitol was empty, the Rotunda was quiet for the first time that day, and I was working late. Suddenly, I heard the most beautiful guitar music. I followed the sound to the Rotunda, and there was the Speaker of the House, Doug Mood, an accomplished musician, using the acoustics of the Rotunda to record a blues album. I just sat quietly and listened, all the while thanking God for my friend Doug and the privilege of serving in that building. As I said, the Rotunda is the great gathering place, and there are two events coming up that bear mentioning. The first is our annual School Choice Rally that takes place this Friday at noon on the north steps of the Capitol. The purpose is to celebrate National School Choice Week and the great strides in educational choice that we've made here in Montana. The second event is the Governor's Prayer Gathering. It'll be held in the Rotunda itself at 7:30 a.m. next Wednesday, February 5th. We're asking everyone to join the Governor, the Lieutenant Governor, and elected officials from across Montana as we gather to pray for our state and nation. Once again, that's next Wednesday, February 5th at 7:30 a.m. in the Rotunda. We hope to see you there. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Okay, we've got Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse coming up right after this. By the way, check out the Montana Family Foundation website for more of their legislative updates if you miss them. But we run them here every day at this time throughout the legislative session. Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse
this
next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented. Because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBEA